Have you ever encountered a hurdle with launching or growing your business? Listen, there are two things that run a business, the back end and your soft skills.
Telling you right now, if these aren't in place, you'll lose clients and you'll lose money. You don't want that? Well, you're in the right place.
Hey, I'm Dana.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
We're your hosts of the Entrepreneur Encounter, and we're going to give you a behind-the-scenes glance into our businesses, give you genuine feedback, tips and tricks, plus occasionally bring on guests that care about supporting you to grow your business organically and nurturing authentic relationships. Are you ready? Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Entrepreneur Encounter. We're your hosts, Dana
and Sarah,
and we are joined by Joey Lowry of Media Shark, who's going to talk to us about, one, his amazing journey. I love talking to him during our pre-recording call and just kind of hearing his story, and then how to leverage AI and other tech to conquer your competitors online. So, Joey, do you want to take a few minutes to kind of talk to us about who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on here. My journey started about 3 years ago, where I was working for another tech company and just doing sales for them. And it was great. I was doing really well. I was with them for about 2.5 years. And then I started losing clients and our data was not lining up with what was going on the back end. So I would show in Google Analytics one thing, what we were saying we were doing in our dashboard was saying another. And we were losing clients. And basically, finally, one day I kind of broke down. I was like, you know what? Shoot, I'm going to figure out what's going on. And I basically gave the company I was working for kind of like this whole plan layout of the issues we're running into. And more or less, I was fired on the spot at a digital summit. Pretty much, let's call it, you know, let's say pulling the cat out of the bag, thinking at the time this was the right thing to do to show them like, hey, I think we have ethical issues here and solving those issues and saying, hey, here's what we're doing, thinking that that was the right thing to do, which I still think it is. And I was actually fired on the spot. And so I ended up starting Media Shark. And then we end up doing 7 figures our first year, completely bootstrapped. And then now I kind of speak on digital marketing across the United States and just helping businesses and entrepreneurs more or less scale.
That's crazy. Getting fired on the spot for bringing something to, hey, like this is going on. Because typically you should have good ethics when running a business in the workplace. Now, I saw this statistic, the survey that I found said that businesses are profit hungry. And 59% agree with the shady conduct of the workplace. So basically, it's like it's imperative for organizations to promote an ethical culture. But obviously, it seems like the place that you worked for did not show that ethical behavior. So it happened because basically said, hey, this is what's going on within the workplace. And they fired you.
To a point, yeah. I think it was one of those things where in their mind, it was, okay, Joey's getting too close to what we're doing. And I think this is one of the issues too, especially in the marketing world. I call it the Wolf of Wall Street going on right now, where you're completely thinking you're getting these blue chip type marketing deals and things, let alone they're embedding all these other BS fees and margins inside their campaigns. And you have no idea. Now, I'm also on the favor of, okay, it is business. So I don't walk into, and this is where I kind of came to the conclusion for myself, because now that I own a business, I see margin, I see how we make money. And I have to think of it too, as I walk into a gas station to buy a soda or a fountain soda, and it might be a $2 or a $1 drink, but the syrup and what they're doing to make it maybe cost them 2 pennies and they're charging me a $1 for it in the sense of the level of it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, do I walk away satisfied? Do I get the product, the service that I'm asking for and wanting? And even though it's a massive margin, you know, hookup that they're charging for that one item, if it does satisfy, I think there's a point of, okay, are we paying for expertise? Are we paying for enjoyment? Things like that. So there was a leveling I had to come to, especially as a business. But I do think it's one of those things where you're seeing a lot in the world, kind of with the statistic you're bringing up, that there's a reason why there's so many marketers, so many agencies, so many entrepreneurs out there being able to go into this game of called business owning just for the sole purpose of how many, excuse my language, shitty businesses are out there because probably margin.
Yeah.
So how do you take that life lesson and implement it into your business?
I think two ways. I think the first thing that you do is, especially from the aspect of ethics, I do believe completely on Sarah's point is you have to stand up to the giant, no matter who you are. At the time, I was making sales commissioned person, probably $20,000+ a month for taxes, which is amazing. And I was happy with that. But I also was losing clients. And I just had this chip on my shoulder about, I know something's wrong. So I think from a life lesson aspect for that specifically, it's like, you know, you can't always be afraid just to sit back. And obviously, the light came at the end of the tunnel eventually after getting fired, because it didn't happen overnight by any means. I remember walking away, going to the bar right away after getting fired that afternoon. And, you know, because I was at a digital summit, so I was supposed to be working at a conference. And I go to the bar and I'm like tearing up at the bar, sitting there like, what do I do next? I just moved to a different state and I had no idea what I was going to do this business wise. So just life lesson, as you know, I just believe like everything happens for a reason. You're able to push through and conquer a lot of things. But then also on the reverse side of looking at what happened, what the business did, well, what they did, being able to say, okay, look, I now fully understand what companies are doing, from hiding fees, going into margins, and how do I bring maybe a fresh take on opportunity to other businesses and other marketing opportunities, because I know what the dark side kind of looks like. And being more ethical in regards of how we do our stuff, how margins work, and not pretending that this is all just sunshine and rainbows and everything you put in for your marketing goes 100% towards your marketing is what they pretty much wanted you to believe. So just taking those life lessons of pushing through and just making sure, you know, bringing in new fresh voice to an industry that maybe needs it.
Yeah, it could be frightening to kind of be like, hey, like this is messed up when you bring it up to somebody. But when you think about your own values and your morals and how you are as a person, because I've seen some shady stuff from places I worked at, and I'm like, this is not right. Some people are afraid to speak up because they don't want to get fired. And that sucks.
Yeah. And I had other employees that work there that they're married. They're much more established than I was. And they didn't want to question. I remember one guy, I won't say who his name, just to, you know, protect the company and them. Yeah. But let's just say Chad would be his name, which is not. But let's say Chad, he's married, just had his first daughter and 6 years older than I was. I was about 28 at the time, 27. And I remember showing him everything. He was just like, I just don't think this is a good idea to bring this up, man. And I'm like, yeah, but we're losing clients. He's like, yeah, but you're also doing very well right now. Like, what happens if they fire you because, let's say, you uncovered something? And I was like, oh, they wouldn't do that. Like, this is me like helping them. Yeah. So I think there's a weird dance, I think, ethically and characteristically. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that, and I'm not saying it's the wrong thing either. I think Chad, in his situation, to him, this was a job, his career.
Yeah.
He didn't have any control over what they were doing behind the scenes. And he made a lot more than I did. So he had a lot riding for him, especially with a newborn. So there's a dance there for sure. And I don't want to say one's worse than the other, but I think if I'm in management and I'm actually a decision maker, then that's where you really have to hold yourself accountable.
Oh yeah, for sure. So since we're talking about ethics and what's right versus what's not, if we're talking about leveraging AI in marketing, because some people are iffy about it, or, you know, some are like, don't use AI because you're cheating, so to speak, or how can you use AI in marketing that's an ethical way? Let's say you write a blog post and you use AI and then like you copy and paste. To me, that doesn't work. Obviously, that doesn't work.
No, there's two major points to that. And I think the major thing I want to talk about, and I love AI, like I'm all about it. And let's just say this, we have to take one big step back and think of how, let's say, newspaper was to radio, how radio was to television, and television was to, I don't know, the internet and broadcasting. Everybody hates change. Fundamentally, as a human and business, everything, we hate any change, whether it's good or bad. So I always say you can't spell assist without AI. With that being said, you have a huge opportunity to either stay up with the times or get left behind. It is one or the other. So when someone goes, okay, I think it's cheating to use AI. Well, unfortunately, you have to cheat a little bit if that's the way you look at it, because if not, you will be left behind. I mean, in the day, the powers that be, I call them the demigods of the internet, Zuckerberg, Google, Elon, if you want to call them in that group. These guys, one, hate each other no matter what, because they're all fighting. They're the Walmarts, the targets of each other. But the truth is, what they're also making sure is that they're serving their audience best. So they're not going to allow a lot of bullshit content, a lot of crap to just float through their networks. So they're also going to be holding up, let's call it the scale, and saying, this is good, this is bad. And if you're doing this, let's say, improperly, you will be penalized. There's no doubt. So when I say use AI as an assistant, sure, be able to utilize AI to help you write the blog articles, help you do outreach, do cold phone calls, do some of the stuff that should help automate your business, run audits on yourself, do scheduling, clean up your calendar, respond to emails to a point. But out of that 80%, let's call it the assistance, that 20% of personalization will separate you from everybody else who's doing the crap work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because yeah, we don't like change. Obviously, I think AI has been around for a long time before this whole trend with ChatGPT and all those things.
Oh yeah.
I believe people, they need to learn about it. when you go to the store, you're doing self-checkout, there's nobody there anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
wait, so you're telling me you just don't walk out? I thought that was the free lane. Wow, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've played around with AI before because I've been asked, like, how do you come up with so much content? Well, because I write long form content and I make that into short bite sizes for like social media and all that stuff. And I've told people in a smart ass way that I do use my brain. But obviously, you know, AI can be, like you said, can be assisting of maybe giving you a topic idea and just go with it that way.
I think that's why we get along. I think that's where even magnetic marketing, and that is an ethical way, you use long form content and can write it out and do the research. You may use AI to help break it down into smaller pieces, but that's your ethical way of using it. I need help. I can come up with the small clips and I'm the reverse. I need help taking that idea and turning it into the long form content, whether it's the show notes, a blog post, a masterclass outline, something that I'm going to talk about. I need help expanding on my ideas.
Well, let me say this. I think there's two things. I've seen some really cool case studies right now that I'm like, hey, man, if people just realize that there's an opportunity here, just in the utilization aspect of AI. Because when you see that, okay, just as you brought up, I need ideas, I need formatting. Well, ChatGPT, awesome. Hey, write me out a plan on how do I create content, become the authority, do an outline for a speaking engagement or a talk, you know, and have ChatGPT write it out. And then you lay out your points. Now, I use different AI tools depending on what I'm trying to do. But something cool that we ran into was, and this is a beautiful case study, it's a little different, but we actually had an adult toy brand that we were working with. And I didn't know this about this, is it on the female side, that a lot of people don't blog about this kind of thing. And weirdly enough, the blogs kill it. So I was like, all right, well, let's try an AI, because we didn't really have anybody who was willing to just write blogs. Our blog writers didn't really feel comfortable with writing about it. And also, I just didn't feel comfortable to, there was an HR aspect that I wanted to be careful with. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what if we actually use a tool called Copymatic. It's $40 a month. It's an awesome AI content writing tool. It produces unlimited articles and they're all SEO optimized. We're like, what if we just put out 10 articles a week around this adult toy and just did it for a couple months to see how it did? Within 3 months, the site was brand new and had over 1,000 users in 3 months. Strictly no advertising, just completely AI content.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, minus the man hours, we'll call it, or yeah, the woman hours, whatever you'd like to call it, of the content writing, technically, the 10 articles a week, so 40 a month. We hit 100 and some articles. We were at 1,000 users. I mean, and there's other, let's say, competitors that are nowhere near and been around years, which is pretty unheard of for a brand new site for just content writing. But if we would have ran ads and done all that stuff, I don't think we would have even organically been able to hit that amount of users, even in 2 years. So just a huge opportunity with AI. It's just, are you willing to put the work in and maybe learn it? And I think the other key though, too, it's like, you got to look at, like, I'm in the kitchen. If I'm going to be cooking something, I may not be the best chef. Like, I'm not Outback when it comes to making steaks or the, you know, I'll call it Bo's and Mo's for us here in St. Pete. But can I actually bake or cook this meal decently? I don't need to be the chef. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem with AI right now, is everybody's trying to be the chef and be able to, I can create, I can do all this, I can make the perfect everything using this tool. It's like, in all reality, you just need to figure out what you can be dangerous at and then double down on that.
I like that. That's really cool with the website and all that traffic. That's a really cool story.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to sell a product. Is that what they were trying to do, was sell a product through the blog post?
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Well, and the other thing too that was interesting was, and this is a business piece of advice for anybody listening, it's TikTok is going viral with so many different products from all kinds of stuff. This is how they actually found the product. I don't want to say what it is necessarily, just to help make sure no competitiveness comes into play. But it was a product that was made famous on TikTok, and it blew up with the women audience size. And they more or less were like, well, hey, let's build a website around this and see if we could sell it and not do like a Chinese knockoff looking website. And then they came to us saying, how do we market it? So we're just like, it's hard to run ads just because of that industry type. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's try this blogging thing. And I'm telling you right now, I think there's a huge opportunity with the TikTok stuff. And then now utilizing AI to outsource it, find Alibaba or whoever, drop ship it, throw a website up, do AI content for it, and just do this a couple hours a day, you know, maybe even just an hour a day, throw some blogs on it and just let it slowly grow.
That's interesting. I'm really glad that we're having this conversation, because I honestly thought not the way that it went with AI.
Hey there, listeners. Ever feel like you're struggling to connect with customers or lead your team effectively? That's where soft skills come in.
Entrepreneur Encounter isn't just another podcast. We're a community dedicated to helping early stage entrepreneurs like you master the soft skills that make or break a business.
Technical skills are important, but without communication, collaboration, and confidence, your business might never get off the ground to the next level.
In our membership, Dana and I share actionable insights and tips to help you nurture the soft skills you need to thrive.
Give you access to bonus content, workshops, and a network of like-minded entrepreneurs who are all on the same journey.
We'll teach you how to boost your confidence,
become a leader who inspires and motivates your team,
navigate conflict like a pro,
to resolve disagreements without drama and build stronger relationships,
communicate clearly and concisely, get your message across, build trust, and close the deal.
If you're ready to take your business to the next level, join the circle by clicking the link in the show notes.
Let's say this, though, too. I want to take another big step back. I'm speaking at AI from a curiosity enjoyment standpoint. I think there are so many things that are going to go dark in AI, like privacy issues. I think what we're seeing with what it can do with photographs and how it can mimic voices. We have a lot of issues that are going to come from AI. I think we're very far off from a Terminator aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say, though, is it there to make your lives easier if you embrace it? 110%. In the day, though, but I truly still believe, though, is that if you don't utilize this, you're going to get left behind. Because let's just use blog writing, for example. How do you compete with a website that's doing it correctly? Let's say they're editing it, giving the human voice, they're adding their own personalization, putting some YouTube videos, some custom infographics in it, which again, ChatGPT is not doing that for you. You got to go back and do all these things. But how do you compete with a website that does 30 blog articles a day versus your website that does maybe one or two?
Yeah, it got me thinking.
It might be one or two a week.
I write blogs. Well, I could probably write more.
But I'm not saying that, like, you could try to use AI to outperform Walmart.com and you would never. So you got to pick your industries and pick how you want to use it. But I just think there's just a massive opportunity if it's done right.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to start diving more into it just to kind of see, you know, just to learn. It doesn't hurt to learn new things, especially when you have a business and you want things to run smoother and quicker. I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Do you have a list of favorite AI tools that you use?
I have a list of about 125 tools that you can download if you go to GoMediaShark- I think it's AI-tool guide. But Copymatic is one of my favorite SEO tool ones. I think it's really great. I believe it's Sora.ai. I believe that's S-O-R-A. Actually, it's a really great voice tool that allows you to more or less do cold called and cold outreach. Those are one of my favorite ones. Obviously, I love ChatGPT. I still use it for a lot of like planning things. But even going down from an email standpoint of utilizing AI, just having it automate some of your email outreach and even using it to warm up emails. There's a couple, I believe it's like instantly.ai, I think is the name of it. But basically what they do is you connect your email to it and then they will send fake emails back and forth inside your email box to, you know, their fake servers. So basically it helps you warm up your inbox. So if you ever want to do a lot of sales outreach, you don't, let's say, screw up your email. Your personal one. Those are some of my favorite ones. I like Copymatic's the one I live and breathe. I just love that one. So, and I think a lot of people just don't even know about it.
Interesting. Okay. We'll have to check that out.
Right. I love it.
That's the thing with the AI also too, is just, I'm seeing so many businesses that it's going to be just like the internet was really. If you look at how the internet came into play and how many call it the unadaptable businesses just didn't want to play with it. Let's say they believed in the traditional TV ads, traditional billboards. I mean, they've got left behind. We'll call it the yellow page businesses. I'm not saying AI is going to hit like that, but I think the utilization in the sense of cost effectiveness, how much it's going to save you money, also how much more organized and how much more of an assistant that it can automate, you know, your business. It's going to make a business owner be able to focus on a lot of more other things that are important to growing and scaling the business rather than some of these mundane tasks.
When you mentioned like the billboards and the advertising and whatnot, I read that blog on your website. I was looking at your website. I was like, I wonder what kind of blogs are on here. And it was the 1920s advertising blog talking about how we used to do like this. It was all print and whatnot. I mean, obviously it would be cool to be in a newspaper, but now with the internet, everything is a lot faster. You get things right on your phone. I think there was one time where I placed an ad in a paper. I did it once. I did it for a month. And I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. But that goes back to the adaptability.
For sure. We've talked about adapting in many of our other episodes too, because there's so many things that happen, like You got to adapt to the change because, like you said, you'll get left behind with anything. For example, when we started this podcast, we didn't know where we were going, almost like in a loop, like running loop of not knowing what we were going to do. But we had to learn how to adapt to the changing of like how podcasts run. I know that's like just a small example, but
yeah,
as time goes on, you see whatever you're working on. Okay, well, this is how the podcast is going to be next year because these are going to be the trends for next year. Or if you're writing a blog or whatever you're doing within your business, it kind of have to go with the changes because if you don't, you get left behind. Yeah.
And I always use the analogy, especially if I'm speaking on stage, it's dating. You don't just go on a date and get married and all of a sudden life's perfect. It's an aspect of learning, of evolution, of just progressing. And like you said, keeping up with the times.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing with business too. I think it's just being able to change and deal with all this stuff and being able to keep up to the times is going to be so important.
Oh yeah.
Joey, how can our listeners find you if they want to work with you?
Obviously you connect with us on our website at gomediashark.com. If you're looking for more of, like, I always call it the intimate connection. If you got questions or things like that, especially if you like in the agency world, I always love connecting with people. Hit me up on Instagram. I'm just that marketing guy on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, all the information is going to be in the show notes. Probably I add the link for the people to download that resource guide from your website too. And until next time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Remember, soft skills aren't just some fluffy buzzwords that get thrown around in the corporate world. They're the key to unlocking your full potential as a professional and a human being. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself and seek out opportunities to improve your soft skills. Sarah and I have a variety of workshops, online courses, and complimentary clarity calls for you to practice in real time with us. Links are always in the show notes. And be sure to join us next time for more insights, tips, and tricks to help you succeed in your entrepreneur encounter.